how he sees my heart. So I fall to my knees and I say that I'm grateful when every morning starts. So I don't thank my lucky stars, cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. So I don't thank my lucky stars, cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance, but truth is. My blessings are, no, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh, yes. Oh God, now we thank you. How we lift you up. How we glorify your name. Because God, you are worthy.
Yes, sir.
You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our glory. If it had not been for you, we wouldn't be here. And Father, as the choir sang, we remember the cross where you hung, bled, and died. But most of all, we remember the third day morning you got up. Speak to me and speak through me that your word will go forth, that we'll leave here better than when we came, because we have heard from you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. To the triune Godhead, to these preachers that are with us on today, to our First Lady, Sister Green, to these deacons and deaconess, to these music ministers of music, to this choir, amen. Let's give them a hand. To all of my brothers and sisters today and visiting friends, God is good. God is good. It's a blessing that we run out of room on the deacon board. Amen. Brother Bob, we're praying with you. We're praying with you. Sister Carol Welsh, we're praying with you that God will continue to bless you and bless your family. How many know God is still in the healing business? Amen. How many know that? In the book of Nahum, you're going to have to use your table of contents, because it's one of those books that we don't really go through. It is in the Old Testament. It's sandwiched between Micah and Habakkuk, the book of Nahum. Chapter 1, verse 7. Everybody there? If not, I'll give you time, because like I said, it's one of those books that we just pass on over, go straight on to the New Testament. But it is there, the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. Are we all there? Amen. And here is the word of God, chapter 1, verse 7, the book of Nahum. It says, the Lord is good. That's enough. You may be seated. I don't think I can say no more than that. The Lord is good. That's our subject today. The Lord is good. The book of Nahum, that's in our hearing. Nahum is labeled the minor prophets. It's not minor because it is not important. The difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet is the material that is written. Minor prophets perhaps be one chapter to two chapter, where major prophets will go from 40 on. As Isaiah is a major prophet, Nahum is a minor prophet. The minor and the major is because of the contents of what they have written, but the message is just as strong. The book of Nahum, the word Nahum means comfort and consolation. But it's ironic that the name of this book is Nahum, who is the writer, his name being comfort and consolation, but he's preaching and declaring judgment. The book of Nahum is a sequel to the book of Jonah. It was 100 years earlier that Jonah preached to the Ninevites, and the city was spared by the preaching of the gospel. And all of those, after hearing Jonah preach, came to God. But it wasn't long that these same Ninevites turned around and went back their separate ways. But yet, here in the text, Nineveh being the capital of the nation of Assyria. Assyrians were bad boys. They had strong military power. And my brothers and sisters, when you look at the Assyrians, when they would invade a country, defeat was imminent. But God used the Assyrians to punish Israel for their sins. And now here they are, in trouble again. And I always believe, Reverend Kirk, that we as a black race are descendants from Israel because we act just like them. We were in bondage as they were in bondage. God sent them the deliverer by the name of Moses as he sent us the deliverer by the name of Martin Luther King. As soon as Israel was released from bondage, they start doing their own thing. As soon as we were released from discrimination, we start doing our own thing. While we were in chains, we served and we loved God and we prayed to God as the Israelites did. And as soon as the shackles were broken, we stopped going to church. We go to church when we feel like going. And you see what happened Easter Sunday night as those young people using AK-47 shooting up one another. If half of those kids would have been in church Sunday morning, they would discover that he had gotten up and they had a new perspective of life. Parents, can I holler at you right quick? Quit giving your children a choice on Sunday morning. And as long as they're under your roof, you mandate you going to church. Nahum's message was one of judgment. And even in verse 1 here in the book of Nahum, you will discover he uses the word burden. That this message that I'm going to give is a burden because the message is heavy. It's a message of doom, gloom, and judgment. He prophesies that God would allow the Assyrians to conquer the Babylonians in 612 BC. And then he gives the message of God's judgment and God's wrath upon Israel because they have turned their backs on him. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of all this judgment, in the midst of all this wrath, in the midst of all this anger that God was feeling toward Israel, verse 7 comes into play. Y'all missed it. From verses 1 through 6, Nahum is talking about how God feels and the hardness of the hearts of Israel and how God would punish them. But then verse 7 comes into play. In the midst of all of that darkness, in the midst of all of that sinning, in the midst of all of that retreating, rescinding, walking away from the will of God, verse 7 comes into play. You ain't get what I'm saying. People have done wrong in the eyesight of God. God is displeased with the direction that they are going. But verse 7, he still say, and after all of this, God is still good. I wish I had somebody to testify, just like Nahum, regardless of what's going on in my life and what's around my life, it doesn't take away from the fact that God is still good. People have lied on me, but God is still good. They have ridiculed you, but God is still good. You have some backsets and some setbacks. You have some downfalls and some pitfalls. You have graves dug for you, but you never slept one night in it because God is still good. He says, the Lord is good. So let's work this text. Let's work this one verse. Nahum, in verse 7, he says, the Lord is good. He opens up by saying, the Lord is good. So write this down. Number one, I have assurance of the Lord. What he is saying is that in the midst of my dilemma, God is still present. In the midst of my unfavorable circumstances, God is still present. And look, you may not shout on this, but God is present in every activity of your life. Regardless of where you go, what you do, and what you see, God is still present. For some of us, we think God clocks out at midnight. Because we want to do everything after midnight. But baby, God never clocks out. There's nothing you do that catches God by surprise. He's never sitting in heaven twiddling his thumbs and say, oh, I didn't see that happen. God knows what you're going to do before your thought even enter your mind. I wish I had somebody to testify. That's why I love God the way I do. Because he has brought me from a mighty... Now, I can only speak for Roger. I can't speak for you. I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be your pastor. I shouldn't be able to be here in the presence of God. But it's by grace.
But see, you got some arrogant people sitting there, yeah, you sure don't need to be there. You don't need to be here either. But it's by grace. God. It's by grace. And this should encourage us today, because our nation is just like the ancient Assyrians. And have you ever wondered how God puts up with us? The Assyrians were the vilest, meanest people of that era. But they were no vile, no evil, no more evil than the people in America today. Because we have reviled God's law. We have ignored God's word. We have found countless ways to cut God out of our activities. And as a result, God has allowed judgment to come on our nation. You don't believe me? There's turmoil in our society. There's upheaval in our economy. There's a steady decline in morality. And it can all be traced from the abandonment of God. The reason why our children are acting the way they are is because parents is not introducing God to them. They are too busy trying to be a friend to them. They didn't come in the world for you to be their friend. You need to be their parent. Because the reason why I cannot be my children's friend, because friends fight. And I want no child ever think that they are qualified to raise their hand to hit me. And let me tell you, you might well go and call 911. Go ahead and put my name on the street. If any one of my child think they got the nerve to stand up in my house that I'm paying the bill for and put their hands on me, I'm going to be on the front page. Y'all going to say it's a shame how Reb did those kids. I have assurance of the Lord, because the Lord is good. He says the Lord is good. Good means pleasant, agreeable, rich, and valuable. God is good because he has been pleasant to me. He's blessed me. He's kept me. And I have assurance of his presence, regardless of my finances, regardless of people, government, problems, sickness, death. God is still good. How many can say, I have assurance that he's right here with me? In the hard times, he's right here with me. In the good times, he's right here with me. In the sad times, he's right here with me. When I'm up, he's right here with me. When I'm down, he's right here with me. When I'm caught in between, he's right here with me. And how many can testify, people have walked away, but God's been right here with me. How I wish I had some people to shout right now. Not because of what you have, not because of your positions, it's because he's right here with me. In spite of how things feel and in spite how they may appear, I have assurance that in all of my circumstances, in all of my situations, the Lord is good. Psalms 34 and 8 said, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And one thing about God's being good and the assurance of the Lord, assurance of his presence, is that when he's present with you, everything will work for his goodness. Come on, Romans 8, 28. For all things work together for the good. That means when I'm down, it's working for his good. When I have, it's for his good. Without, it's for, wait a minute, preacher. What you mean when you're down and without? How is it for his goodness? Because when he bless you, you're going to be the first one to walk in the church and say, when I didn't have anything, when I couldn't see no way through, when the doctor said you only have 6 months, God said you got 6 years. I come here in the church to lift you that anybody can testify and say, if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord, I'd have been dead. Look, COVID came, hit us 2 years ago. You didn't bury your loved ones, but you are still here. And you're going to tell me God is not good? I have assurance of the Lord. But then Nahum goes deeper. He says, not only do I have assurance of the Lord. Look at verse 7. He said, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Not only I have assurance of the Lord, but then secondly, I have assistance from the Lord. That means that when trouble comes, he's just not there to be there. He's there to assist me in my trouble. You see, some people show up just to get in your business. Sometimes they even come to the hospital, not to pray with you, just to see what happened. But God is not there to get in your business because he already knows your business. He is there to help you in the midst of your trouble. He said he's a stronghold. Stronghold means a place of safety and a place of protection, a place of refuge, a safe harbor from the storm. That means that when the storm comes, God places you in a safe haven and protects you from the storm. Here's the stronghold of the Lord. Watch this. The stronghold of the Lord does not prevent the storm from coming your way, but it prevents the storm from taking you out. Don't ever believe just because you love God, trouble won't come. Trouble will come. But by God being there with me, when the trouble comes, he's there to shield me. And look, every now and then he put a crack in the roof and let a little rain touch you. Let you see a little thunder. Let you hear a little thunder. Let you see a little lightning. And you may get a little scared inside. And let's dispense with this foolishness going around telling people that when they're scared about something, you shouldn't be scared. God ain't give you this. Look, fear is a human nature. I wish I had somebody to testify. Fear is a human nature. Y'all ain't got it yet. Fear is your human nature. Let me say it again for the spiritually hearing impaired. Fear is your human nature. The only thing the Bible says, it doesn't come from God, but it didn't say you're not going to have it. But since you're going to have it, my faith overrides my fear. I know I'm going to have fear, but then something kicks in and tell me that God's going to take care of me. I know you're scared. I know you're troubled, but God is going to take care of you. In my trouble, in my distress, he takes care of me. When life begins to close all around me, Nahum says, he's your stronghold. When hurts and horrors come your way, Nahum says, you have a stronghold. You know, when you look at how good God has been to you, don't you know the reason why you made it home from the party and you was too drunk to stand, but you tried to drive and you still made it in your driveway? God had you in a stronghold. Look at you super saved saints in here. Now, don't sit in here alive. We're getting ready to take communion. It's been so many of us, we were so drunk and so high, we were seeing crossways and still got in the car and still God allowed you to get home. Can I give you another shout? He didn't even allow you to get pulled over. You was able to come all the way home. You was too drunk to get out of the car. You just slept in the driveway, but you woke up the next morning because God put you in a safe harbor. Why did he do it? You want to know why? Because while you was out partying, somebody was there praying for you that you would come home safe and sound. Oh, that's the assurance I have from the Lord that he will take care of me. And you will discover that you have peace in the midst of the storm. It's because God is willing to direct your path. And there are some people, when you're in a storm, you just don't need to be around. Can I say it again? When you're already going through something, there are some phone calls you don't need to answer. There are some texts that you don't need to respond. Because there are some people, instead of lifting you up, will try to kick you while you down. And I come to tell you That's why I've learned to lean and depend on God. How many of you went through something? And instead of people going around trying to lift you up, here you are sick. You're already afraid of your situation. And instead of people coming to you and say, baby, don't worry, God got you. Oh, I heard many people died from that already. And it's bringing your spirit down. And so you got to learn to distance yourself from some people. Not even when trouble comes, you got to look around your life and say, this boy that been in my life too long, it ain't mean me no good. This sister's been in my life too long, and all they do is bring me down. It's time for me to separate myself. You see, sanctification is not is an obligation. It is not a denomination. Sanctification means to separate yourself for the love of God and the work of God. And to separate yourself, you got to move from some people. You got to look at some of your boys and your girls, say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the Lord give it, but I'm taking myself away. He said, I have assistance. In my trouble, he says, I have assurance, that's his presence. I have assistance, that's his stronghold. But then, third and finally, he says this. Watch, he says, and he knoweth them that trust in him. So not only do I have assurance and assistance, but then third and finally, I have acquaintance. He's acquainted with me, and I am acquainted with him. And since I trust him, that means that he will handle my situation by his own terms and in his own way. And so the phrase reminds us that God knows his children. My dad, Roger Lee Green, well, his name is Roger Green. He didn't want a junior, so mama stuck Lee in my name. My dad, everybody said, boy, you look just like your daddy. You act just like your daddy. You short just like your daddy. Because it was no denying by looking at me and looking at him that I was his son. And the Lord did the same thing with me as it comes to Junior. People look at Junior and say, boy, that's your son. He looks just like, he's a little taller than you are. Because my wife, they tall folk, you know. But he looks like me. And there was no denying that he was mine just by the way he looked. Oh, y'all just missing him. Now, you say you belong to God. You say that he's your father. And God's your father and you are his child. But then you ought to resemble him a little bit. You ought to walk like him sometimes. You ought to talk like him sometimes. You ought to look like him sometimes. How are you going to say that you are God's child and always raising hell? How are you going to say you're God's child and always in the midst of confusion? How are you going to say you're God's child and won't even lift your hand in the sanctuary because you got a hidden agenda? How are you going to say you're God's child and you won't give God a praise? If God is your father and you are his children, then when his names are mentioned, you ought to respond by saying he's been good to me. When I say the Lord is, you ought to say good. The Lord is? The Lord is? In trouble, the Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. Yeah. Whoa. He's good, y'all. I'm acquainted with him. And watch. And if I'm acquainted with him, then we become joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that God has, he's given to Christ. And everything that Christ has been given to us. And since I'm a joint heir with Christ, then I have the same riches as Christ. I wish I had somebody to testify and say, out of all of my sin, out of all of my wretchedness, as low down as I was, he still brought me from a mighty long way. Is there anybody who was in the low down group?
like I'm in the low-down group. I might be the president of the low-down group, but I've been low down. I've been so low that I see no direction but down, but he still had mercy on me, and he still picked me up, turned me around, put clapping in my hands, running. All right. Let me go on and leave you now.